His driving isn't near as bad as mine. You can ask my wife about that. So I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I want to start off with a short scripture, and it is in John, the third chapter, 23rd verse. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I want you to consider that those verses very carefully. They are the two most main qualifiers. And so, how do you worship your God? And it has to be in spirit and in truth. If you don't desire truth, it doesn't matter where you are. But the spiritual part of things seeketh best the good gift, the best gift. Let's go to Matthew 13, please. And I want to start in the 10th verse, and it says this. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why wasn't it given to them? These people came searching for something. And the reason is because, and it didn't say that they lost their salvation or anything like that. It was that these, their disciples, had a greater relationship. Do you desire to have that relationship with God, where he tells you things, where he speaks to you, where he gives you dreams? Do you desire those things, or are you like the masses? You see, because I think those two qualifiers are very important. You see, not all those, and I can go to that verse in Luke, not all those that cry, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, because there's something more that we're missing. We say we're led by the Spirit, but how does that look? We have prophecy. Some people have that gift. So let's go to some of the gifts. I'll go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. You have to forgive me. I don't write anything down anymore. Twelfth chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit is divided to every man severally as he will. So all these things are available to us. Why do we not see them? Is man the only one that can heal or give knowledge or wisdom? You see, some of those things, I think, can also be corrupted. They can be used for good and evil. But there was something that Christ gave that was something different. I want you to go to Revelations, 4th chapter. And I want to explain this if I can. So, and this is talking, and this is, I'll start from the first verse. After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And I immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. This is a really good explanation of the Trinity also. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps. And I want you to remember this. Seven lamps of fire before burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Right? And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him and liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they that created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth and all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now I want to go back there and I want to explain something. The seven lamps burning before the throne of God, what are they? Seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. But yet, the Lamb, as it had been slain, which is after his ascension into heaven, had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. How do you explain what the Comforter is? You ever thought about that? What does it do? You know, I believe that it cannot be corrupted. Christ said, I must go so it can come. One of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? You see, those seven lamps are burning before the throne of God, I believe, whether it's wisdom or whether it's knowledge, can be corrupted. And so, he went and he took the book out of him that sat upon the throne, didn't he? That tells us how special our Lord and Savior truly is. But anyway, getting back, and I just wanted to explain that to you. Because here in Matthew 13, for you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Do you desire those things? Do you desire to have that relationship where he wants to show you those kind of things? The difference is in your scriptures. To be taught on high. Paul, the Apostle Paul, spent several years in the wilderness because he desired that. So what did God change about him? Let's go to Acts, the 8th chapter. Actually, it's 9, sorry. First verse, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus. He believed there was a God, didn't he? Of course he did. And if you didn't believe just like him, persecute you. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, I think that was the first time he had ever heard the Lord's voice. But he understood exactly where it came from. Would you not agree? You see, sometimes if we don't have those spiritual gifts, how do we know that it's the Lord that's telling us these things? You have to desire this. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." He said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight." So what's the Lord saying to Ananias? Because let's go with the 13th verse. And Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem." And so Ananias is saying, "Yeah, I don't really want to go." But what did the Lord tell him? "I've given him a vision. I'm sending you. I'm not sending someone else. I'm sending you." You know, wouldn't we all like to be able to say, "Oh, no, I don't think I want to go there"? And here ye have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." It was going to be an easy road for him, wasn't it? You know, there's things that change us about our lives that the Lord puts us through, and not by accident. You know, isn't it funny that he took his eyesight away from him? You know, when you're blind, you have to see things differently, don't you? You know, these things that change our lives in dramatic and drastic ways, they're not by accident. They're very important because they change how we look at things. So, do you desire those changes in your life? Page 407 in the Book of Mormon, and I've used this before, but it is, I think, very important, because sometimes we pray for things amiss. And it is Alma, the 15th chapter, and I'm going to start in the 51st verse, because this is after a great battle. "And thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing. Sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ unto life. Oh, that I were an angel and could have my wish of mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth and cry repentance unto every people." It was a good thing he wanted. Wouldn't we love to see not a empty pew at all, just full, right? It was a good thing he wanted. "But behold, I am a man and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me." I ought to not harrow up my desire, the firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them, decrees which are unalterable, according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, and I know that good and evil hath come before all men, or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him it is given according to the desires, whether he desireth good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now, seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I was an angel and that could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own nations and tongues to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. And here is the most important part. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. It's very targeted. It's not to everyone, never has been. That's an awful scary thought, isn't it? There are lots of people out there that desire to have that relationship. And then there are lots of people out there that are satisfied with just going to church once a week, or, you know, the only time I call on him is when I need something, like a benevolent uncle. If you desire the true gifts of God and that relationship where he tells you things, then there's something that you have to do. There's actually several things, right? You got to be humble. Got to have love in your heart. Got to be committed. That's the first thing. Got to be obedient. Then there's one more thing. How about maturity? You know, it's an easy thing to say, but if the Lord told you something really difficult in your family, that, you know, someone was going through a trial, sometimes we do great damage to our people by not allowing the Lord to do his work. We like to fix things, don't we? I mean, you're looking at the guy right here. You know, he used to be a mechanic. Like to fix things. I buy junk because I like to fix things. That's not necessarily true, but I like a good deal better. But there are things that God has to change about us. So all these things that happened to Paul, just by accident, right? Of course not. How about the shipwreck? If you go to the last two chapters in Acts here, this is one guy I'm not sure I'd like to go on a boat trip with. I think it's 28 and 29. 27 and 28, I should say. First verse of 27, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners into one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering into the ship of Adrian, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. Of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed unto Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. And when we had sailed slowly many days, scaths were come over against Cnidus. The winds not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon, and hardly passed it, came into a place which is called the Fair Heavens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lacia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because of the fast, was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. You know, Paul had an inside understanding about this, wasn't it? You see, the Lord said to you, I don't want you to go there. Well, I'm going to go anyway. Kind of foolish, wouldn't it? And so, how much weight did what he say have? Didn't have any weight. But at the end of this, let's go to the 22nd verse. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But the ship, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew nigh to some country, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found 15 fathoms. So Paul's telling him it's going to be okay. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchor out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore I pray you, to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from your head of any of you. And so, who's in charge now? You think it was by accident? I don't think so. There's no accidents with God. You see, we believe there's a God. And I didn't grow up in any church. Something had to change my life. You know, some of the most important things are taken from you. How important was it? Must not have been that important. But you remember why those things were taken from you. It was to change how you looked at things. Didn't change Paul's zealousness or anything like that. This journey that he set his heart on after he truly found God changed how he looked at things. You know, things that were offered unto idols would have been a non-issue for a Pharisee of Pharisees, wouldn't it? Yet it took him 3 chapters to explain it. I'm neither the better for not eating of it. You see, it lost its power because we do many things by tradition. This is why it's so important to desire the spiritual gifts. To be that peculiar people. Let's go to Titus. I think it's the 2nd chapter in Titus. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That better be us. That better be us. And so I found that I try not to have any fears of anything. Because I know that doesn't come from God. I ask God to bless me. I ask God to give me the words to say. I ask God to do many things for me. Second Timothy, the 2nd chapter, 4th verse. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, how do you know that the Lord is telling you things? He's given me dreams, shows me things. And yet, like Paul in a lot of ways, I feel that I'm unfit in many ways. I want to go to that 1st chapter of 2 Timothy there. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What have I committed unto him? Has to be my whole life and every part of it. Has to be something that has changed this creature. None of you know who I used to be, where I came from, what background I have. I didn't get raised in any church. And in some ways, it was a blessing because of this book. The truths and the understanding in it, that I desire something better, like Paul. Alma, third chapter, page 578. And now, this is Nephi. And now, because thou hast done this with such unwearingness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works. Yea, even all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. That's an important statement right there. It's maturity. You ever wondered when Abraham went to sacrifice his son? He'd given him that son. You know, I'm sure he would have allowed Ishmael to go. But the Lord gave him no wiggle room. Thy son, thy only son that thou lovest. Given him that son at an old age. Let's continue on here. 118 verse. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye shall have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine and with pestilence and destruction according to the wickedness of this people. Was there no wars after that? While Nephi was alive? Of course there was. There are things that have to change other people's lives as well as our own. You know, one of my favorite books is 2 Kings. And I'm going to run out of time here pretty quick. But Elisha wanted a gift, didn't he? He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, that's an incredible gift, isn't it? Of course it is. You see, when I started on this journey, I was in the restoration. It wasn't really. I mean, I showed up for a prayer service in a pair of work boots, shorts, and a t-shirt, you know. That was what I looked like. I didn't know who God was, but I knew that I needed something, and he guided me. And I seen amazing miracles